Welcome to Career Tools. This week in our Common Question series, can my manager deny PTO or FMLA? And can my manager block an internal move? The questions this class answers are, can my manager deny paid time off, known as PTO? Or can my manager deny family and medical leave, known as FMLA? Can my manager block an internal move?
The problem with business books is you know that the examples used have been massaged to make for a better story. Real life just isn't that tidy. That's one benefit of hearing from the real executives speaking in our executive speaker series. They're actually real people who understand that life is messy, and they'll be live and taking questions so you can ask them about all the messy bits. It's often those messy parts that keep us stuck in our careers. So join us and find out how the executives that came before you managed their way to a successful career. Click the Executive Speaker Series header on our Manager Tools homepage.
This is another in a series of casts that we're doing that answer a common set of questions that we get a lot that start, can my manager? And most of them are answered fairly quickly, usually in just a couple of paragraphs. So we're going to put a bunch of them together and we're answering them as a series. This is the second one we've done. And a lot of them, like the PTO and FMLA question, the answer is almost the same for both those questions, even though people ask them as if they are separate questions. So we're going to put those two answers together. And that's what we're doing in this series, where the question sounds different, but the answer is the same. We're putting them together. And hopefully that makes a nice, efficient way to answer a lot of these questions that come up when people are either new to the workforce or they have concerns that they don't know where to go for the answer. And if you're a manager, it's probably interesting to know what people are asking behind your back, what they don't know, and what they're worried about.
Yeah, we always have those questions that we're not quite sure. And if you as a manager can help them know that, more power to you. So today we're going to cover, can my manager deny PTO or FMLA? And can my manager block an internal move?
So the answer to can my manager deny PTO or FMLA is yes, they can in specific instances. And no, they can't deny it so much that it means that you don't get to take what you're legally entitled to or that you're authorized by the company to take, which sounds really complicated. So right. We're going to use a really simple analogy, hopefully. So every day, your body needs a certain amount of water. We all know that if we don't drink enough water, we die, right? If you don't have any water for a certain period of time, you die. And doctors say 8 glasses a day, right? Roughly, is how much you need. And at 10 a.m., your body says, hey, I'm thirsty. But if you've just walked into a meeting that's going to last 15 minutes, you think, oh, no, I'm not going to walk right back out of this meeting and get a water now. I can wait 15 minutes and get a water in 15 minutes, right? So you could wait till the end of that meeting and get some water then. So you've denied yourself the water in this specific instance, but you can't deny yourself the water indefinitely. You couldn't keep saying to your body, no, you have to wait for the end of this meeting and the end of this meeting and the end of this meeting and then not have any water until 10 days later, because by then you'd be dead. And that's how it is with PTO and FMLA. Yes, your manager may be able to say, in this specific instance, no, you have to wait the 15 minutes until the end of this meeting, or no, not on this day, or no, not in this week, maybe. But it can't keep saying no, usually, in so far as it denies you ever getting that allowance, if it's legally mandated or it's the company mandates you that you can have that time off.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's clarify, what is PTO? This acronym stands for paid time off and is used in the US to describe paid time off for sickness, vacations, and national holidays. This is legislated at the federal, state, and or, I guess, the local levels. Who receives paid time off? What is it called? What is it for? and under what circumstances is it granted varies wildly between states in the U.S. and between countries across the world. So it really depends on what level of legislation you're looking at, as well as state to state or federal or within different countries. There's also different rules around the different types of paid time off. And all those different rules can be depending on what type of worker you are. The government workers are going to be different than corporate workers. And surprisingly enough, sometimes it makes things worse for those government workers, not better, like you would expect.
Yeah, sometimes it says, the legislation says, these people should get this amount of time off, except government workers. We don't, they're not allowed, or they don't fall in this bucket. And I always think, well, that doesn't seem very fair. But anyway.
Everyone but you.
Exactly. Right? So where paid time off is legislated, it generally has some kind of enforcement built in. So for example, in Arizona, which is where Amanda is.
This is good information.
Yeah. Employers cannot use earned sick paid time off as an absence that can lead to or result in any discipline or adverse employment action. In other words, and this is a very loose interpretation of the law, if you take paid time off for sick time that you've earned, you cannot be fired for doing so. Now, that is a very high level interpretation of the law, and this stuff is complicated, which is why people often find themselves tangled up in it. And we're being careful about what we're saying here because we're not lawyers, we're not your lawyers. And like we said, the legalities are legislated both at the federal, state, and local level and within companies and in different industries. So what laws apply where you are can be very, very specific. But often, if a law does apply, there is some kind of enforcement built into that law so that there is a way for people to have recompense if that law is broken.
Yeah. So this does not mean that the law in your jurisdiction includes anything to the effect that you cannot be denied PTO if you ask in advance, or that you won't have to make up the time in return when you return. The legislation does not necessarily prevent your manager from denying your PTO.
As well as the legislative duties, companies may have committed to additional PTO as part of the agreement with employees, either individually or for the whole workforce. And these agreements are much less likely to be legally enforceable. And it is much more likely that your manager can deny time off under those agreements. So where they're not contractual, i.e. there is no signed agreement, they're generally considered a privilege and not a right. So if you came into a team and at that time you were told, oh yeah, we give everybody the day before Christmas off. And then one year your boss says, no, I'm sorry, everybody has to work the day before Christmas this year because X, Y, and Z. It's probable that you have to work that day, even though there's some kind of unofficial rule that you never have to work it. And you thought that rule always counted because it's not legislated and it's not an actual written signed agreement. It's just a verbal agreement and it's something the company has always done. It's probably not enforceable in any way.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And the bigger the company, the more likely it is that those kind of things are written down somewhere and that they'll be kept to. The smaller the company, the less likely they are to be written down and they're just an agreement between you and the owner of the company or you and the manager of your team. And also, the more likely it is that you'll get something in return. So they might say, I really need you to work the day before Christmas, but I'll give you an extra day off after New Year. So the pros and cons, you know, if you work in a big company, it's more likely that they'll stick to the rules. If you work in a small company, it's more likely that flexibility will work both ways.
Yeah. It comes down to just knowing what that legislation is and then if it's written down within your organization. Let's talk about FMLA. That stands for Family and Medical Leave Act. And in the US, this is a broad legislation that covers time off for sickness, pregnancy, and care of a sick loved one. Know that this is a federal legislation. And again, there is state and local legislation that also applies to these circumstances. So they can vary, but at the higher level, they are done at a on a federal level. There's also adjunct legislation known as the PUMP Act, which also applies. In general, because this is legislated time off, your manager cannot deny you time off that is covered under the act. Not all employers or employees are covered, though. So even if the reason for the leave you would generally be covered, your specific circumstances may not be covered because your employer or your employee is not covered.
Yeah, for example, if I'm remembering this, so this may not be accurate, but I think it doesn't count for companies with less than 10 employees. So you might have been covered if the company had 13 employees, but because your company has less than 10, you're not covered under the act. And that's through no fault of your own. It's just the way that piece of legislation works. And that's also true of leave in other countries. It's important to understand the difference between what's statutorily required, which your manager can almost certainly not deny you indefinitely, and what's offered by the company, which they almost certainly can, at least to a certain degree. And depending on how big the company is and how much they want to keep you and all sorts of things. But there's a lot more flexibility for the company if it's a company agreement with you, a personal agreement between you and the company about some kind of leave, rather than something they are forced to give you by law.
Yeah. So the difference is if it's company policy or legislation, that's what it comes down to. The two actions that you can take if you have this question are, first, understand the legislation in your jurisdiction and the rules at your company. And second, have a great relationship with your manager. What? It comes back to having a great relationship.
Again.
I'm starting to see a theme.
Yes, right. Every time.
Every time. Have that relationship. Again, the better your relationship, the more likely it is that you won't ever have to wonder if your PTO will be denied, because your paid time off and other issues will stop being a source of tension between you and your manager. If you have that relationship, if you can talk about it, there's not going to be that tension. And along with that relationship, you also do have to know the legislation. Is it a law, legislation, or is it company policy? And then talk to your manager about it.
And think of this situation as not a binary choice. A lot of the time when this situation is discussed, it's, is my manager going to give me this which I am owed or not? But if you think of it that way, if you think of it adversarially, as in I'm owed something, he has to give it to me, and it's just a binary yes, no choice, then the two people are itching for a fight. You know, they're starting to go in that mode. Whereas if you think of it as a negotiation where there is the possibility of a win-win situation, then you're much more likely to get what you want. So if you start early enough asking for, you know, let's say you want 2 weeks of leave together because it's your child's last year before they go to high school, and you want to take them to a really special vacation, and you want to have 2 weeks, and you know that because you know how old your child is way in advance. You knew when your child was born how old it was going to be this year, presumably, right? So you don't need to leave this until 3 months beforehand. You could ask your manager a year in advance, hey, I really want to do this with my family. We're thinking about doing it in June. I'd like to take 2 weeks off. How can I do this? What would I need to put in place for this to be possible? Think about what could you do with the team? What work could you do ahead of time? What could you teach other people in the team to do so that they could cover for you? That kind of forethought, that kind of advanced work, that kind of collaboration is the kind of thing that will get you those kind of extraordinary requests granted rather than a fight about whether or not you can have a specific day or not.
Yeah, having that information ahead of time to know that there is a plan in place is very helpful. And also providing a longer lead time before you give any leave request, you're more likely to have it approved. Again, to Wendy's point, you know how old your child is. You know when they're graduating middle school, junior high, and going into high school. Like, you have that date on your calendar and a plan. So as far advanced as you can. Now, there are times, of course, that it's going to be harder to predict when you're going to be sick or how much time you're going to need off or what that time will look like. Even with babies, we do have due dates, right? But sometimes they come early. Sometimes they come late. Those little critters, they can be unpredictable. So for those times, you can't necessarily plan ahead, but you can have a plan A. You can have a plan B. Have a plan in place. Know ahead of time. Let your manager know. And that you're more likely to get that time off, or at least the support that you need for that.
It's not a you versus them. It's not a you have this plan in your head and you're just, and then you spring it on them and have them approve it. It's a working together to get you what you want without inconveniencing everybody else too much, right? Most managers don't deny leave requests out of spite or malice. They just don't. It's not because they don't like you, honestly. It's because of situations like the request comes too late for them to make changes to the roster to prevent an effect on a customer. Or there's a high operational tempo that requires all hands on deck. Or it's a popular holiday or vacation time and they're trying to allocate time off fairly. And no matter what method they use, someone will be unhappy. So they're doing their best.
Yeah, assume positive intent. Also, managers know more about those inner workings that you might not have that insight to. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things going on behind the scenes that you don't know. So give your managers that kind of grace, right? They're not out to get you. Now, if your request is denied and your manager gives you a reason like this, then ask for an alternative time, right? If they give you the reason that it's too late for them to make the changes and it's going to have an impact on the customer, you can give an alternate time period that they would be able to give to you. Know that booking a vacation that you cannot cancel in order to blackmail your manager into giving you vacation time is not a smart tactic. Again, it is not a smart tactic, regardless of what the internet says. Using blackmail is not going to help you long term. So think ahead. Don't book a non-refundable vacation and use that to ensure your time off, because maybe it works that instant, but it is going to have a detrimental impact on your relationship with your manager.
And if you're out for sickness, keep your manager up to date with the situation and your plans. And that those are actions that are likely to encourage your manager to look more favorably on PTO or FMLA requests in the future. The easier you make your time off on your manager, the more likely they are to make your time off easier on you in the future.
I love that.
Boston, we are headed your way. We're hosting an EMC and ECC in Boston. That's on November 7th and 8th. 2 days, effective management and effective communicator conferences. If you're in the area, or at least maybe one hop from Boston Logan, it's an opportunity to learn the next steps to being a more effective professional. We're going to talk about better management, better communication, and you can also meet other professionals in the area. If you're interested in either, you can sign up at manager-tools.com/training. See you soon.
All right, let's now talk about the question, can my manager block an internal move? Short answer, yes, they absolutely can. The reason people ask, we suppose, is that they believe their managers should never block an internal move, and yet sometimes they do. Let's be clear then. Managers can block an internal move. A manager may well have good reasons for doing so, including reasons in the employee's best interest even when those are not clear to the employees. Again, it goes back to your managers might have some insight that you do not. So if they choose to block an internal move, it's not necessarily, again, out of malice or spite.
And don't mistake our guidance about this with how internal moves should operate. The very best internal talent markets should be approaching frictionlessness. In other words, there should be no friction. And anyone should be able to move to any job, anywhere in the organization, anytime, provided they have the skills and talents required. And at the opposite end of the continuum, companies with very strict rules about every move being approved by multiple people and all of those people having the right to veto a move for any reason are rare because it makes no sense commercially to limit the talent in your company in this way. It makes way more sense to allow the talent to move to where it feels it's best used. And that, you know, Adam Smith's hidden hand, it makes more sense for the economy to regulate itself, even the internal market for talent. That doesn't mean that managers don't and can't block internal moves.
Yeah. And often this question is asked before an employee has even applied or spoken to anyone about an internal move. They fear that their manager will take retribution on them for even asking about it and by blocking the move. Sometimes they believe that their managers have some Machiavellian scheme whereby he never lets the best people go, thus keeping the team performance strong. Essentially keeping that talent for themselves. I'm not sharing. This is my team. You stay. Now, the question isn't asked because the blocking of an internal move is an actuality. It's just a fear that people have. In most cases, the fear, this one in particular, never materializes because most managers are in the position because they want to see directs learn, grow, and move on, especially to manage teams of their own. It goes back to managers are there to support you, grow your career, help you out. And a lot of times that is letting you go to other parts of the company because you have the skill set that can benefit them. And then they take on it. It's a give and take throughout the organization. So it's not a scheme to keep you all for themselves, especially because if you don't want to be there, that's not the best person you want on your team, right?
That is not good for productivity, someone who doesn't want to be on your team. So if a manager does block a move and the reasons given are operational, for example, that the team can't afford to lose this team member or you, or that a project needs this specific skill for a specific time, then the reasons should make sense to the team member who's receiving that information. And we say should because what should happen and what does happen are very different things in any circumstances. But in the kind of team that we're trying, that we hope that all teams are, any direct should have an understanding of the team and their place in it and the workload and the projects and the future such that those operational reasons that they're given would make sense to them. So if somebody says, we need your skills for the next 3 months on this project and I really need to keep you for that long, that should make sense within the global, you know, information that you have about what's going on in the company. If it makes no sense, that would make my spidey sense tingle.
Yeah, it definitely have that kind of conversation. That conversation should make sense if you're making that move or if you're not because your manager needs you. Now, know that managers may have reasons that they can't disclose to a direct, such as knowing that the team they want to go to is about to be disbanded or there's going to be a reorganization on their own team and that's imminent. And with that reorganization, it'll give you a better opportunity. And that's not something that managers can tell you ahead of time or that they're not at liberty to discuss with you. So sometimes even if you can't have that conversation of why, it's not, again, to keep you from growing. It's because they know what's in your best interest. If the reason is something like, I don't think this will be good for you, then there is no reason for the manager not to have the conversation with the direct. There are, however, all sorts of things that managers know that are not ready to be widely disseminated and can make their reasoning for blocking an internal move sound weak. So it's not always the perfect situation where managers can give you the information to make you feel really good about not being able to make that internal move. So keep that in the back of your mind too. It might be a bigger picture that you don't have that information yet because they can't give it to you.
And if that does happen in a month or 2 months, things should become clear. Or your manager should be able to have that conversation with you of like, oh, yeah, that never panned out and it didn't happen, but this is what was planned and this is why I said it. And this is what I thought was going to happen. And hopefully the next time that opportunity comes around, it will happen. So to make internal moves less likely to be blocked, there are two actions you can take, one long-term and one short-term. And this is going to sound like we're just repeating ourselves, or we cut and pasted this from earlier in the podcast. In the long term, the better your relationship with your manager, the less likely it is that your move will be blocked without you understanding why.
What?
Because
relationships.
The better the relationship, the more likely it is that your manager will understand your ambitions and be actively helping you to find opportunities to fulfill them where they align with the needs of the business. It's all down to relationships.
It is. And if you have a relationship with your manager that you trust them and they say, no, it's just not a good time right now, lean into that trust. Know that they are looking out for you. If you have that type of relationship and you trust them, even though it might not be clear, lean into it, right? Know that you have that trust and you worked hard to build that. So in the short term, talking to your manager before you make an application for an internal move makes it more likely that you will be approved. So much more likely if you talk to your manager ahead of time. No one likes to be blindsided by something that will significantly affect their plans for the future. And your manager's plans for the future includes you being on the team. So if you blindside them and they don't know what to do with their future, it's going to hurt more. It's going to not necessarily get you that approval that you're looking for. So it's about that conversation, that communication. Many people expect that a manager will give them whatever it is they want, such as allowing an internal move without giving their manager the common courtesy of even a conversation beforehand, let alone thinking through the best way to make that move easy on the manager and the rest of the team in advance. Make the move easier on your manager and you're more likely to get what you want. And to this point, if you're making it easier on your manager by letting them know ahead of time, yes, they are going to approve and support you, hopefully. But if you're sneaky and you don't tell them about the move ahead of time, and you try to do it without their support, just know that the next manager you go to is probably going to hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to hurt you in the long run, right? Because if you were willing to do it to your previous manager, what's stopping you from doing it to them? So keep that in mind. It's not just about what you did. It's those behaviors that you could do in the future.
I hadn't thought of that one. That's a good too. That's a really good, a good point that, you know, rumors travel.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you're new to the workforce and you don't know the answers to simple questions, it's okay. But none of us start with any of the answers to any of the questions. That's why we're here. It's okay not to know, and it's okay to ask. And some of these answers might not be what you expected. They're the ones that we learned the hard way. And we hope that learning the easy way accelerates your career. Thanks, Amanda.
Awesome. Thanks, Wendy.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.